لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل رب إما تريني ما يوعدون رب فلا تجعلني في القوم الظالمين صدق الله العظيم. Respected listeners, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given man a unique speciality, something that's restricted to the human race, and animals aren't blessed with this ability. Allah has given man the ability to adapt, put him into any terrain, any environment. He just needs a few survival skills, and Allah willing, he'll pull through, he'll survive, he'll get out of the condition that he's in. Animals, take a polar bear and put the polar bear into the desert, it'll die. Take a camel from the desert and put it into the snow, the camel will die. But put a man into the sweltering heat of the desert, over 50 degrees. He'll adopt few steps, he'll adopt a survival method, and Allah willing, he'll survive. Take him and put him into the snow, deep into Antarctica, minus 40 degrees, he'll survive. Allah blessed man with this ability of adapting. Just like man adapts to the physical challenges that he faces, man also, Allah has blessed him with an ability. It's impossible. Allah will give him the ability and the tools and the survival, pull through and to survive through physical challenges, and Allah won't give man the ability to survive spiritual challenges. There are challenges that come onto a person spiritually as well. These challenges aren't aimed at wiping out his life or taking away his soul or affecting his health. They are meant to attack his iman. Allah save and protect every one of us. These challenges, in the words of the Quran and Hadith, are known as fitan. They are known as fitnas, trials, tribulations. Now, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us certain survival methods that we need to adopt in order for us to be saved from the fitna. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu reports a hadith narrated in Sunan Abi Dawood. He says, we were once seated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on that day the topic was different fitnas, trials, tribulations that will come to the ummah. Mention was made of fitnatul ahlas, then fitnatul sarra, then fitnatul duhayma. Fitnatul duhayma, a murky, a dark, a cloudy, dark type of fitna. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mention of this fitna and he said, لا تدع أحد من هذه الأمة إلا لطمته لطمة. When this fitna arrives, it will affect every person in the ummah. Every person. Some more, some less, but everyone will be affected by this murky, confusing type of fitna. And it will be said, حَتَّى قِيل إِن قَذَتَّ مَعْدَتْ. It will be so confusing when people will say this fitna has ended, all of a sudden it will reach its peak. So this is the nature of the fitna. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يُسْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. The severity will be such, some people will start the morning with iman in their hearts. But by the end of that day, the iman will be snatched away, they'll end up in the group of the kuffar as a result of this fitna. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, hatta yasira an-nas ila fustatain. People will now end up after this fitna. The result will be, they'll end up in two groups, two camps. Fustati imanin la nifaqa fihi wa fustati nifaqin la imana fihi. One group will be a group of people who'll have genuine iman, perfect iman, with no trace of nifaq and hypocrisy. And the other group will be a group of hypocrites, in which there'll be no fraction and no trace of iman. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, فَإِذَا كَانَ ذَلِكَ فَانْتَظِرُ الدَّجَّالَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ أَوْ مِنْ غَدِهِ. When this happens, this is now laying the foundation, this is the introduction for the worst fitna that will ever come on earth, the fitna of Dajjal. When people end up in these two groups, then remember, wait for Dajjal to come on that day or the next day. This is the severity of the fitna. Fitna will be coming, but it's impossible that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the guide, didn't give us some survival skills, some set of survival skills which we can use to maneuver, navigate, avoid and be saved from the harms of this fitna. So Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu, hadith narrated in Sunan Tirmidhi, he comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, you warned us, you informed us, there's going to be fitna. There's going to be trials. And we know fitna works in such a way, sometimes it goes low and then it goes high. We know what season we are going through and we know the extent of the fitna that's happening all around us. Allah save and protect us. Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu asks, Ya Rasulullah, what's the way out? Man najat? What's the set of survival skills that we need to adopt to save ourselves from fitna so that our iman, our deeds, our hearts, our spiritual self doesn't get affected? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him a 3-step plan that every one of us can adopt, and this will be a means of us being saved from the fitan that are happening around us, and inshallah our iman will be saved like this. Number one, he tells him, Uqba, amlik alayka lisanak, take full control of your tongue. Be careful of what you say. Watch your words, because your words have such a major effect on everything you do in life. When your words are correct, when you're speaking correctly, all the other deeds of your deen run smooth. And this is understood when Mu'adh radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he asked, Ya Rasulullah, show me a deed that will take me to Jannah and that will keep me distant from the fire of Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he explained to him various avenues, starting off with the 5 pillars of Islam, then going on to explain the virtues of tahajjud, the virtues of fasting, then the virtues of giving sadaqah, then he expounded on jihad, explained the various avenues of good. At the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him, O Mu'az, Allah adulluka ala milaki hadha al-amri. O Mu'az, should I tell you something that will consolidate, that will strengthen, that will allow you to get a good grip over all these avenues? Meaning you take care of this one deed. This one deed is like your key. This one deed is like your fuel. This one deed is like the motivational factor for every other good deed and every other avenue of good you want to engage in. What's this one deed? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to emphasize the point, he took his hand and he caught hold of his tongue. فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ He held his tongue and he told Muaz, كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا O Muaz, control this tongue. Guard your tongue. Watch your statements. Because when you're not careful about what you say, your statements affect all the other deeds in your life. If there's a shortfall in your deeds, many a times it's a result of the wrong words that you said to someone, the wrong statements you spoke about someone. So many wrongs are linked just to the tongue. Ghibat, backbiting, slander, carrying tales. You know, there's a whole host, a whole list of sins. But all this is linked to the tongue. What we need to do is guard ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained, certain fitnas will come and it'll cover people entirely. And uniquely he said, Al-lisanu fiha ashaddu min waqi saif. Misusing your tongue and speaking incorrectly, commenting about people and saying wrong things about them, the effect of the tongue will be worse than the striking of a sword. There'll be more harm that people will cause to themselves by misusing their tongues than the harm, the wounds, the afflictions they'll get through weapons. To sharp-edged tools, the tongue will cause more damage. Simply is, look at the way of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They had full control. One incident, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, narration of Sahih Bukhari, she says that when the incident of Ifk had taken place, when people had falsely accused her of committing a crime she was totally innocent of, the stories were going around Medina Munawwara, rumors were going around about her. She was totally innocent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard what people were saying. He didn't necessarily believe it, but he couldn't dismiss it also because it was his wife. It would look like he's partial. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went around asking certain sahaba radiallahu anhu what they felt. One person who got innocently caught up in these stories was a sahabiya by the name of Hamna bint Jahash. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they started this fitna and they began saying things about Aisha radiallahu anha. Hamna bint Jahash heard it and she felt also maybe Aisha radiallahu anha was afflicted or affected with this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the sister of Hamna bint Jahash, who's his wife Zainab bint Jahash. He goes to her and he says, "Oh Zainab, ma alimti, ma ra'aiti, what you feel, what's your take, what's your knowledge regarding these statements made about Aisha?" Allahu Akbar. Zainab bint Jahash, look at her response. She says, "Ahmi sam'i wa basari. Ya Rasulullah, I guard my ears and I guard my eyes. I will not say one statement that I haven't heard with my own ears or I haven't witnessed with my own eyes. How can I comment on Aisha? Wallahi ma alimtu alayha illa khaira. Ya Rasulullah, wallah, I know nothing but good in Aisha. I know nothing but good in Aisha." And Aisha radiallahu anha says, "Wahiya allati kanat tusamini." But this was the woman between myself and her was about the strongest rivalry. We both were wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was strong rivalry. We were rivals. We were competitors with each other in winning the attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But look how Allah saved her. فَعَصَمَهَا اللَّهُ بِالْوَرَعِ. Allah protected Zainab. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Allah protected Zainab because of her refraining from engaging in statements that don't concern her. Allah protected her because of this. What we need to understand, respect the elders and friends, physicians, doctors explain, Allah has blessed man with so many muscles in his body. Every muscle has a limit. It has a restriction. It can work to a certain point, and after a certain point it gets tired. But there's one muscle in the body that can work from the time a person gets up right to the time he goes to sleep. And what muscle is that? That's the muscle of his tongue. It never gets tired. To the point some people go to sleep, and even in their sleep, that muscle still works. They engage in sleep talking. So this is one muscle Allah has blessed the human being with. So we can engage in wrong, but think, Allah has blessed us with a special strength in this one muscle. We can use it wrong. We can say the wrong things. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw yasmut." If you have iman in Allah and the last day, say something good or remain silent. Rather than using the tongue in wrong, use it in something good. Remember Allah, make some dhikr. What dhikr? Whatever is easiest for you. A simple way in today's time we have, people feel shy, maybe difficult to hold a traditional tasbih because people might call them holy or pious. Today Allah has blessed us with these little devices, these electronic tasbihat. We can keep one of these in our hands and make the dhikr of Allah. Making Allah zikr will automatically save our tongues from getting dirty in some sin and some haram. In Urdu they say it so beautifully, "Achhe kaam karoge to bure kaam se bachoge." If you do good, you'll automatically be saved from wrong. So one way is, rather than putting our tongues in wrong, engage in something good. The second thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained was, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. Let your house be sufficient for you. Remain at home. At home meaning, remain indoors. Normally, the place that's safest for everyone, the place where a man finds peace and comfort and protection, is when he goes home. So protect yourself by remaining in your homes. One sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the times of fitna, فَمَا تَأْمُرُنَا فِيهَا. Ya Rasulullah, what's your command, instruction, advice? He said, كُنُوا أَحْلَاسَ بُيُوتِكُمْ. Become addicted to your home. In other words, become like those items in your home that never leave. Stay as much as possible in your home. Stay there, take care of yourself so that you don't involve yourself in anything haram. Ibrahim alayhi salam showed us so beautifully his entire family, his entire town. They were going out to some festivity to engage in haram, in shirk. Ibrahim alayhi salam showed us he stayed at home and stayed away from the wrong and haram that was taking place despite the odds around him. It said very beautifully in English, you may not be able to control the wind, but you can adjust your sails. You cannot control the wind, the environment around you, you're not going to be able to change it. But you can adjust your sails and do what you know is right. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us, when you're at home, it refers to any place where you're going to find safety. Sometimes it's your home, sometimes it's the masjid, sometimes it's the gathering of some pious person. Go find sanctuary and safety there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, إِذَا عُمِلَتِ الْخَطِيئَةُ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ شَهِدَهَا فَكَرِهَهَا كَانَكَ مَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا وَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا فَرَضِيهَا كَانَكَ مَنْ شَهِدَهَا. When wrong takes place, just as you're going to guard yourself, don't be a participant. Keep your body away, keep your mind away as well. Keep your heart. Sometimes you're at home because you're ill, because you're sick, because you can't be there. But if you're at home, but your mind is where the rest of the people are engaging in haram, then despite you being at home, you'll be counted amongst those people who are engaging in the haram. So be careful, guard your body, guard your mind, don't even aspire to be there. The third thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَتِكَ. The third point on the survival plan is, cry over your sins. Cry over the wrongs that you've done. Make tawbah to Allah. This is a very powerful tool and a universal solution for every problem that any ummati can face. We normally often we quote this hadith and we hear this hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever holds on to this one deed, Allah will make everything work out for him. Three rewards are promised for someone who holds on to istighfar. Man lazima al-istighfar, ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli dhiqin makhraja wa min kulli hammin faraja wa razaqahu min haythu la yahtasib. Allah will make a way out from every difficulty. You are in hardship. You are in difficulty. You are in problems. Allah will create an exit. Why? Because you are constantly reading Astaghfirullah. Second, Allah will turn and convert your anxieties, your worry, your depression into ease, happiness and comfort. And number three, Allah will send rizq and rozi for you from avenues your mind didn't even go to. So hold on to istighfar. These three benefits will come to you. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu reports a hadith which he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Alaykum bila ilaha illallah wal istighfar fa akthiru minhuma. Hold on firmly to two types of dhikr. One is La ilaha illallah, the other is Astaghfirullah. Hold firmly onto these two and recite them in abundance. Why? فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَالْ أَهْلَكْتُ النَّاسَ بِالذُّنُوبِ وَأَهْلَكُونِي بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. Shaitan admits, I destroy people by engaging them in sin, by engaging them in haram, by prompting them to commit all types of wrong deeds. But they destroy me, they break my efforts by engaging in La ilaha illallah and istighfar. We said in the beginning, this tongue is very active. Rather than letting the tongue engage in wrong, we rather engage the tongue in something good. And these are simple dhikrs. Astaghfirullah, La ilaha illallah is something we can do daily, all the time, whenever we have free moments. Recite these dhikrs and see the benefit that will come to us. Respected elders and friends, we'll end up on one note. When the season changes, then people generally say, everyone is doing it, so let me do it as well. Everyone is merrymaking. Everyone's having a party. Everyone's having a so-called good time. Let me just do what they're doing and let me go with the flow. These are the words. Let me go with the flow. Remember, brothers, one fisherman mentioned very beautifully that remember, only dead fish go with the flow. Only dead fish go with the flow. In other words, a kafir is dead as far as his heart is concerned. He'll go with the flow with whatever is happening around him. But a mu'min, Allah has kept hayat. Allah has kept life in his heart through the kalima and through his iman. He never goes with the flow. He's like that fish. The strongest, intelligent, and the best quality fish are those who've developed swim even against the current. So that's the mu'min. The dead fish will go with the flow. The strong fish will swim even against the current. So no matter how strong the current of fitna is coming against us, as a mu'min, we always see, what does Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, want from me? What does the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, demand of me? Even if it means I got to swim against the current of the current situation, I will do it because I'm loyal to Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah save and protect every one of us from all types of fitna. May Allah grant us the ability to remain firm, to hold on to Quran and Sunnah, and make Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, happy at all times. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.